Tom and Steve. So it's close. Okay, yep. We're good. I apologize, but it's... Okay, I hate this, where this is, so forget it. I'm not going to be there. Okay, so you have already met Ramesh and John, and now I'm going to have Tom and Steve tell you why they're here.
While we're here.
Okay. Please tell us about your organization and how your work is relevant to the topic.
Great. Thank you. I'm Tom Mountcastle. I'm with CSC Leasing Company. We're headquartered in Virginia. Not affiliated with CSC Corporation. We tend to be their customer service, taking calls all the time, but not associated. We are a leasing company that is focused primarily in the technology industry. We consider ourselves an alternate source of capital for data centers and hospital medical facilities, one thing and another, particularly in the current era when everybody is beginning to buckle down on the money that they're spending. So we do operating leases, which basically are very low-cost leasing solutions. With the technology being what it is today and turning very quickly, companies are moving heavily in that direction, which we're very glad of that, with refresh cycles that are very very planned and very organized. We have been in the business for 25 years, clients that we've had for that many years. We pride ourselves on a relationship, and we're really very vested in this industry today, particularly with cloud computing, data centers, one thing and another. It's definitely the movement. I was at a conference 2 weeks ago talking about the growth, and the growth rates in this over the next 10 years are just, the numbers are unbelievable, as most of you probably heard. With the data centers being what they are and cloud computing being what they are, the statistic, which I thought was interesting, that 95% of the locations that will be doing this over the next 10 years will likely be international. That the presence in the United States will be somewhere around 5% of the overall structure throughout the world, which is unbelievable. But we'll see how that goes. But we're here to help, so thank you.
Great. I'm Steve Hallbrook. I'm with Brightline CPAs and Associates. We provide attestation and compliance services for companies that are in the cloud space. Our assessment reports, our assessments typically result in some type of report or certification mark that cloud providers share with their customers to give them comfort around the controls that are in place protecting the data, the applications that are hosted with the cloud provider. As far as the economics go related to healthcare, there is a cost of compliance that is associated with that. So,
okay, we're going to go right down the row, starting with John. And at the beginning, we talked about cloud computing, the vendor criteria. So what advice can you provide on evaluating the alternative cloud vendors, from a financial perspective? Is it possible to do an apples-to-apples comparison, or are the different offerings just too great? So let's start with John.
Well, the investment to move to the cloud is a complex decision. It involves cost, it involves risk, it involves compliance. To make sure that you know what the return of investment is and that your investment is based on a generally acceptable base for evaluation, you have to have the right ingredients. You have to have in the calculation the tangible and the intangible costs. You must be able to re-evaluate as the process goes how efficient is your solution. So focus quickly on the optimal cloud solution and its performance. Now, to make an apples to apples, being Greek, I'm going to quote the movie My Greek Fat Wedding. Apples are fruits, oranges are fruits. So they're both fruits. It depends what you want.
Just use Windex. Yeah.
Just use Windex. I love Windex, by the way. So anyway, be sure you know what you want and make sure that the vendor gives you a clear understanding of what he's offering. And that way you can compare what you want and how you get it from the other vendors. There's no one vendor that is the same as the other. So there's no apple to apple. There's green apples, there's red apples. So it's your choice.
I would say really understand what capability you're trying to create first, right? That's most important. Once you understand the capability that is expected as an outcome, then work backwards and see what should be the evaluation criteria to get to that capability at the fastest time and the lowest cost, right? It's time to capability is a metric. And look at, I mean, there are certain things, like obviously you are moving from CapEx to OpEx model. So hopefully what would that mean and how that investment is leveraged, right? Typically, for any business case, you do your NPVs, I mean, discounted cash flows, all those standard metrics. I mean, I would hope all those still apply. But there is also an operating model change with cloud. So you need to understand how your organizational structure would change, or organizational design would change to support this new capability. It's not just a technology thing, somebody brings in something and things happen. So there is a organizational design aspect that should also be considered. So I would say definitely focus on the capability and time to capability as a metric, and that would probably work out really well. And then figure out which vendor's product seamlessly fits into your enterprise architecture.
Well, from my perspective, I think there are three areas where I think when you're looking at different providers, and most importantly, I think it's looking at how that works within your company. For example, your own internal resources, you need to look at those as compared to cloud computing and what's being offered there. And that covers a broad area of things, staffing, skill sets, OpEx, cap budgets. And for example, if you were looking at SaaS, software as a service, and you find it more expensive, and generally if you look at the first analysis, you're going to find that to be the case. But then you've got to step back and look at your internal resources and say, well, what would be the answer if something happened to your resources, if somebody left, if you didn't have the person there, if you didn't have this skill set? And in the end, you've got to compare and balance that, because some people will look at it and get sticker shock without really doing the analysis. The second area is basically your own internal requirements. And this gets to basically SLAs, or the service level agreements, where you are requiring certain things to happen in the way you do your business. And timing and healthcare is everything. I used to be a chief technology officer for a healthcare corporation. And believe me, I never liked getting calls from the nurses on the floors or people that were in the emergency room wanting to know why they couldn't get to find something in the hospital. So these things are very, very important, because if without service levels, you can have unexpected downtimes that can cost you a lot of money from a financial perspective. And then the third area, as was mentioned earlier, was risk. And I think it's really important, because you have to look at, when you look at your organization, you study risk all the time. And when you look at a cloud, you've got to look at the same thing. You've got to look at the suppliers that are involved, the risk there, disaster recovery risk, and business continuity risk. They have significant implications on the financial wherewithal of an organization.
Steve?
Great. You know, I can't really speak from a financial perspective, but what I can speak to, you know, when evaluating a cloud vendor is understanding, you know, what type of controls that they have in place around the data, the systems that you're hosting with them, or that they're hosting for you. You know, understanding what type of third-party audits that they're going through on a regular basis. You know, are they standard audits for the industry? Do they give you comfort around the fact that you're using them as your cloud provider, or planning to use them as your cloud provider? And really the third thing is, you know, having an understanding of the business associate agreement. You know, part of HIPAA would require that as a business associate, which cloud providers are, that they have some type of agreement in place with hospitals or other covered entities that define what the relationships are, what type of safeguards need to be in place related to the protection of the data that's residing with them.
You know, and I think that's a very good lead-in to what our next topic is, which is task prioritization. So when you evaluate which operations or functions to move to the cloud, so you prioritize based on financial benefit, what guidance can be offered? Is it purely a question of cost savings by doing the same task in the cloud versus by a conventional means, or are there other aspects that should be considered? We'll start with Ramesh.
So I would say, I mean, it's a very generic question, right? So what task moves to cloud depends on what type of cloud are we talking here? Are we talking about infrastructure as a service, platform as a service, software as a service? So it depends on the business unit, what somebody's trying to do. If it's a HR department saying, I get 10,000 resumes, I don't have time to scan all these things, maybe software as a service is a potential approach. Whereas if it's coming from an IT manager saying, my storage costs are going up and I want to manage my infrastructure costs, it's a probably a discussion for, can we do an internal private cloud versus should we go with a hosted cloud model to augment our existing data center strategy? So if we are getting a requirement from our development team that, hey, it's taking me 6 months to get a server, I want to start doing now, maybe it's a way to look, okay, can we provide them a platform capabilities where they can do some rapid application development and continuous integration kind of capabilities to get the products on time in the line. So lot depends on what they are trying to do. And I think it's very important to craft a clear IT strategy and separate infrastructure, platform, and software in separate buckets. And then it should be part of the broader investment decision in an IT organization. So then it's much easier rather than saying cloud. Because people think cloud is all outsourced, it's in some place. That's not necessarily true.
Okay, so Tom, apparently Ramesh just said there's no magic button. What are you going to tell us?
There's no magic button. Well, I think, first of all, looking at the healthcare industry today, it's become and is continuing to become a very competitive industry. And it has one major goal out there, and it is to take care of patients. Patients are the customers. And I think for years and years and years, people just assume people just come in and walk into any hospital or walk into any medical facility. It's become very competitive. One of the examples that I see out there, which always interests me now, the signs you see on the side of the road that say, emergency room wait, 12 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, that's getting pretty competitive. That says you need to come to our hospital because we'll make sure you get taken care of. If you go next door, it's going to take a long time. So I think from the standpoint of where you look at it from a prioritizing from a financial benefit, I think it's really important, quick access to the computing and large storage facilities. If you are in the hospital and I'm in there and I need to find out what's going on and they say, well, hang on, we can go do some, you know, CAT scan checks so we can do this, or we're going to go look at this, or one thing and another. They want, that's big data, and they want access to it, and you got to get it quick. If I'm laying in there and I'm dying, I want somebody to find out pretty quick what it is that I've got. And I'm sitting there waiting and hanging, and they go, well, the computer is starting, and I'll get to it in a minute. That doesn't make a real nice answer for me. I think as we're moving into a time frame, ability to share healthcare data is a very, very significant part of what's going on in the industry today. And certainly the ability of the cloud to do that is a key component. It's a big burden to healthcare facilities today and a major amount of work that they've got to do. Medical records and image archiving are probably one of the top things that I hear out there when we talk to people about leasing, because they're looking at equipment and stuff to do this type of thing. It's across a broader geography, it's across different settings, and again, it's a huge burden, it's a lot of data, it's a lot of information put out there, and the cloud can do that very efficiently. So it's a top priority. It's one of the things when you look and you should be thinking about the cloud experience. Medical records. Probably one of the biggest burdens I know when I was in the hospital business, for the IT department, it was one of the biggest burdens we had. Massive amounts of stuff going back and forth, and the ability to manage it and control it and store it and everything else, a major piece of it. Obviously, the concept of big data, the centralization of it, is very, very important, particularly with electronic health records today, which before long it's all going to be required anyway. So the cloud does have some extreme benefits for that. And just as a, you know, from a broader standpoint, as we move to more telemedicine and all of these types of things, the need to be able to coordinate, you know, I was listening to a lecture 2 weeks ago talking about. Before long, you may be managing everything from a smartphone. And doctors who are in mobile facilities and all these type of things, the cloud allows you to provide a very smooth piece of that. And because that's the direction of the industry, it's absolutely a consideration you should be looking at when you're studying the providers, the cloud providers, and how they're going to do that. Communication, as I think it was mentioned a few minutes ago, the critical point, you can have a greatest data center that does things fast, but not being able to get good communications with that data center or cloud computing facility.
Okay. Yeah, continuing with the more than financial considerations to be taken into account, and to Tom's point about the big data, the electronic medical records, you know, what type of security controls are in place at the vendor to secure that data? Also, you know, what type of data are you looking to move to the cloud? You know, you have varying degrees of risk depending on that type of data that you're looking to move. You know, electronic medical records, even billing applications, you know, that data can provide some insight as to what type of ailments a patient may have. You know, if they're making a payment to an oncology center or an HIV clinic, that could very well provide some insight as to the type of treatments that they're receiving. And lastly, you know, going back to the business agreement, you know, what the business associate agreement, you know, what how well is that defined by the cloud provider that you're looking to work with?
John, did they leave you anything to say?
I'm going to change a little bit the motif. In order to evaluate which task you need, everybody's correct, of course, and I'm not here to say they're wrong. You need to determine the period of time you're going to use this service. You need to calculate the benefits of moving to the cloud, the tangibles. You must calculate the cost of moving to the cloud, which covers everything the gentleman said, training, reorganizing, firing people or hiring people. Identify the intangible benefits and the risk and try to quantify it. Determine the interest rate that applies over that period. And then use an accountant to plug all this into a formula to get the today cost and the return on investment forecast.
I was going to say, you're leading right in to that performance metrics question, where how do you advise regarding patient care, pharmaceutical research, and other healthcare organizations to establish those financial measurements of success in deploying to the cloud? What economic solution considerations should be considered in these analyses? Go for it, Tom.
Oh, thank you. Well, first, I think the in a general sense, the cloud is a massive paradigm shift for the healthcare industry. Absolutely, it's not what we have all done for many, many, many years, starting with mainframes and working on up. Basically, what we want is with the cloud computing is for healthcare facilities to obviously focus on core competencies and changes in business models and automation of processes and streamlining workflows to the benefit of the patient. And then one of the pieces of that that goes with cloud and computing is basic consolidation of IT resources in a way that saves a health facility money. The cloud basically is if you look at it in the context of a healthcare ecosystem, it helps provide the best services to the patients, or at least that's what we must all believe with all the changes that are going on in the business today. I think generally, if you just took the measurements from the perspective, and everybody here has talked more about them, I think time, cost, quality, and margin of the four areas that if you go out there and do some studying on it, you'll see. From a financial standpoint, when we look at some of the leases and one thing and another, we're talking about cloud movement and financing. The four or five that I would say are the most significant, and they've been noted in a couple of occasions. On-premise, meaning is your facility, CapEx cost versus the cloud's cost. Operating cost on-premise versus cloud cost. And these are things that are moving, so they're going to change. And as he said, the time frame of when you're looking at it and the term that you're going to look at it will make a difference in all of those. So I would not say it's exacting science at this point in time. In fact, it would be very hard, based on some of the things that I've seen in analysis of financial presentations, to be able to peg all of these things because of decentralization, because of a lot of things that drive these statistics. Another would be CapEx versus your operating cost, you know, your on-premise, meaning at your facility, physical assets, and the total cost of those ownerships of those assets versus the assets that are being provided to you in your cloud. The cloud's total cost of ownership. Then there's the reduction or redeployment, as was made, the comment made earlier, of IT personnel. So there is a distinct, we assume, if you move to the cloud, that there has to be some either redeployment of those resources into other areas that are going to generate a return, or they're going to be people that says, see you later, we like working with you, but we don't need you anymore. Then there's the other side of this, which goes with your operating costs, which is physical plant costs. I mean, the fact that you've got power, you've got space, you've got HVAC, you've got all of these costs that roll into this. They're operating consideration, and that's one of the things that when you move to the cloud, hopefully you're going to see savings in it, because you're running a very large operation with a lot of costs that may take you only this much under the new scenario. So those would be the ones that I have significantly, and leave some others to go.
Steve, let's see if there's leave us anything.
I'll add to it just by commenting on wanting to be aware of service level agreements, uptime of the service, customer support. If the users of the cloud platform need support, what type of hours is the vendor providing you with? What type of support? And then, of course, outages. What is the process for letting you know of an outage? Things along those lines. So.
John?
They haven't really left me too much to say. But.
That's okay. And what? We don't need to repeat. We can
That's fine.
Go on.
That's fine.
Ramesh, did they leave you anything?
I mean, only thing I would say is, yes, cloud will save money, but that should not be the primary goal. It should be creating new capabilities. For example, with patient care, right? It provides better continuum of care. Now you have better interoperability, the medical hub concept with the ACO. So I think cloud can enable definitely better patient care and provide transparency and avoid the overall system cost. So it's not just that IT cuts the cost and rest of the people do nothing with it. So I think it's how you position cloud and how it strategically helps achieve the broader business outcomes. And it definitely can be a great enabler in improved patient care, especially if you leverage a mobile application, social media, and the multiple outreach programs with your automatic call out from nurses for specific target group if you're managing a disease. So it can be a great enabler for better patient care.
I agree with that.
Okay, so now, when we've talked about all of these reasons and the different aspects of migrating to the cloud, from your experience, has there been, or can you, quantify the most positive financial impact of moving certain functions to the cloud for actual healthcare organizations? Are there any figures that you can share with us from specific examples? And start with Ramesh.
I can tell you from some of the projects I've done, typically it's a 12 to 18 month ROI, and I'm talking specifically for internal private clouds. With a hosted cloud, you should be very careful what you're doing. I mean, let's say $1 per hour VM, that's $60,000 a year. I mean, and if you have 100 VMs, you're talking a lot of money. So people need to really understand when to go with a hosted cloud, and when, if you, especially for large hospitals, if you already have millions of dollars invested in your data center, I mean, really look at the TCO for a period of 5 years, 3 to 5 years TCO, and then see what makes sense.
That's an expensive salami.
You're still slicing up that salami.
Right.
It's getting bigger.
Right.
So now he has salami and Windex.
That's right. Me? Okay, I'll go with the apple. generally, I don't have any statistics on it, but one of the things that I've heard and seen so far in just talking to the different entities is the fact that one of the things that the cloud provides from a from an economic standpoint is the fact that you get access to a lot of very specific resources. For those of you who have worked or been around IT situations in hospitals, you know, you've got so many things going on. It is very hard to have a person to handle every single thing that goes on. And so somebody leaves and you got a problem with that. So one of the things that the cloud does provide is a level of expertise that's there because it's required to be there for you, and they are constantly adding and developing and growing. So I think that's a very, very important part of it. I think the other thing, too, is, which we're seeing, particularly with bigger companies, is the fact that, you know, you get a five-year plan. Somebody says, we're going to fund you for 5 years. You get to the end of 5 years, and suddenly they go, well, sorry, we don't have funding for this anymore. And you're left with antique equipment to run important business in your organization. And what the cloud does is ensure the continuity of that. It allows you to manage your internal capital assets as well as in your investments in it, as well as knowing and be assured that you're going to get that service from a cloud computing area. Those are two that are very, very, very important to what we've seen. And the other thing is that it's, which we saw in all the charts and things have been talked about to here, that it's a pay-as-you-go type model. You know, you don't have to sign up and you're not stuck for 5 years with this monstrosity that you spent $10 million worth and it's sitting there and it gets used this much instead of this much because you paid it to do this when really you only need this. And so those are the three big economic things I see in it.
Steve? Yeah, similar to these guys, I don't really have any figures or specific examples, but what we have found is, you know, oftentimes the cost of maintaining infrastructure internally can be understated. And, you know, the cloud providers tend to invest more in security than your average organization. So by migrating to the cloud, you're going to reduce some of your internal time and cost for maintaining the equipment, as well as maintaining the security of that equipment.
John?
I think the because I come from the networking side, the most impact that the cloud has on healthcare and other services, but specifically for healthcare, is the remote provider access. That it allows the patient to communicate with the provider being 30,000 feet in an airplane. And one should ask, when somebody asks what's the financial impact of the cloud, we should not forget that the healthcare industry is there to save lives first and to make money
second.
So I think the speed of communication, as you mentioned, is important, and the ease to access the provider is important, and we should not look at them just as businesses. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Ramesh?
Yeah, I concur. I mean, obviously, security is an important one, and just make sure that your cloud provider is compliant to ISO 27001 or NIST standards, whatever requirements are in place, right? So security is an important aspect when you look at, I mean, financials are one part, but it's multiple other dimensions to look into it.
But because I'm already thinking, you know, we keep looking at the positive side, why we should be moving to the cloud. My question now is, let's go to the other end of the spectrum. Are you familiar with any attempts to deploy cloud solutions that have just failed, you know, totally economically? For example, by costing a clinic or research lab more to use the cloud than it didn't, or requiring other investments that have to make up for the organization using the cloud. So right now we'll start with, I see Tom, Steve just.
Well, when you're in the financing business, you find out about failures pretty quickly.
Well, I think it's something
because they cost you money.
Looking at to balance.
I agree with you. Basically, I think a lot of the problems that that we see, or in working through this process, There are many problems where IT systems, their interoperability are problematic. Being able to sync systems that are critical to an operation internally with things in the cloud, because there are standards in the clouds. And you may have been nursing this wonderful application along for many years, and it's very critical in your organization. But when you try to link it into a cloud computing standard that has high standards, and I think it's which are important, we've seen a couple of cases where it has really failed tremendously. And I think it was more just impatience with the fact that there were a lot of moving parts. And because people have been used to doing it their way for a lot of years. And in bringing together remote practices, hospitals, state organizations with your filings and your claims and all of these types of things, they all have slightly different systems. And I think one of the challenges, which will be overcome with time, I'm certain, is that that requires a lot of planning. And if you don't have that plan in place, I know of two companies that have failed miserably because they could not make it happen. It just the cost, they didn't build in the budgets for that kind of transition, the interoperability of the applications, and I think people finally got tired and said, we're not going to do this anymore. So they just kind of backed off.
I mean, if you fail to plan, then you're just planning to fail.
Yeah, there you go. Good point.
Steve?
So I deferred to Tom because I don't really have an example of a failure. You know, our experience is focused primarily on the cloud providers. You know, they're the ones that we work with, and they're the ones making the investment in their own technology to deliver the service to the healthcare arena. So.
Okay, John?
I've been on the job only 2 months, so okay. I don't really have an experience of failures.
Good, it's good. Okay, so we'll go to Ramesh. So,
yeah, I would say from my experience, don't create a separate silo. I mean, people do that. Think of a technology project, go and create something, and then it creates operational nightmares.
Yeah.
And classic example, let's say I host something in a hosting site vendor. There's some issue or defect. They have their own incident management system. You have your help desk with their own incident management system. Now you create a brand new project to integrate two help desks. Your level one, level two, level three issues, right? So really need to understand the operational integration issues, and I would say work closely with your chief operating officer. What is the business operational impact of this cloud? Is it the right strategy? Which business area should be implemented? And then look at the financial aspects. Because many times people look from a small silo, hey, this vendor is doing something cool, let's sign up. And then they call IT, something goes wrong, and there's enough complexity. So I would say really understand the complexity and the organizational design and the operating model before they do something. And don't make it a technology project.
Okay, I'm looking here at people who actually caught and threw the rein and come here. So before, or instead of me asking another question of our panelists, how about our audience? What do you want the panelists to tell you? Just announce yourself.
I'm Ulrich. I'm from a pharmaceutical company in Europe. I heard you, John, talking about ownership of data. So by moving to the cloud, I could be a little concerned about our data or the customer data, you know, being analyzed and being used for things that we actually don't want to get used for. How are you side on that?
Our solution is targeted for consumer, low, small businesses, let's say, and small healthcare providers. The control features that we have built into our ecosystem allow you to control exactly where that file has traveled. There's a record in case you're audited. There are clouds that do provide part of that service, but most of them do not provide you that detail of handling the file, as far as I know.
I would just say, I mean, you say that when you go to cloud, you lose your data. Yeah, if it's a public cloud, that's probably true.
Right.
But you could still get the same financial benefits if you have an internal cloud or a hosted private cloud. You could still get the same benefits. So, and also, just make sure you have integrated NOC and SOC, right? Because people start creating their own security operating center, network operation center for cloud, and you have one in your data center. It gets very messed up. Somebody comes from some audit or something. You have no clue where your packet flows or what's happening. So having an integrated NOC and SOC and the IT operations is probably an important aspect. And that's true irrespective of cloud or no cloud.
I think the points that are made are key. I mean, security is absolutely probably at the top of the list for more, and it really is, as Ramin said, it's really dealing with what is the type of cloud that you need. I mean, if your data is such that it should not be hackable, whatever, blah, 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 you should be not looking at a public cloud for sure. Yeah.
Steve?
Yeah, not much to add.
Okay. So. Who else has a question? Let's get these gentlemen on their toes. Is anybody awake in here? Okay, then I'm going to ask one last
question.
Okay.
Steve, you don't have to name names, but have you come across cloud providers that have not done well in your auditing?
I'm quite sure of that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not naming any names. You know,
you know, what are some things to look for?
Sure. You know, one of the most common, when we most commonly see a failure with an audit or an assessment, is when there's not internal ownership of the processes, of the controls. You know, we go on site, we're interviewing personnel, and you know, they're not aware of policies. There's really no central management of their compliance initiatives or their policies and overall security posture of the organization.
Good point. That's a very good point.
Very good. Yes.
And I'm going to finish with one final thing. And gentlemen, this is like a one sentence answer. This isn't a full blown speech here. But if you had to name one reason for a healthcare entity to adopt cloud solutions that's even more important than the economic benefit, what would that be?
Saves more lives.
Healthcare industry saves lives.
Better patient care.
I think it eliminates a certain amount of uncertainty for the future and how you're going to run your operations. And it's all about patient care. That's what it's about.
The security of the information, you know, can the healthcare organization protect it better than the cloud provider?
And with that, unless there's another question
actually,
from the...
if you don't mind, I'd like to give sort of what may be somewhat of a rebuttal. So I'm from Emerson Hospital in Concord, Massachusetts, and I would put forth the proposition that any hospital that has an emergency room must have local compute, must have a local private cloud. And the reason for that is, especially in Massachusetts, we have ice storms and snowstorms, and we have days where you go days without street power and without access to the internet. And if all you've got is your cloud compute, now you're on paper, somebody shows up at the emergency room, they're unconscious, you don't know what they're allergic to, you don't know what medications they're taking. So I would say that every hospital should have a local private cloud.
Just to add to that, actually, military health systems does that really well. You have forces on a ship, on a battlefield, and they can run their operations in a remote, isolated way.
Yeah.
And now... gentlemen, thank you very, very much
for
your participation.